We still haven't played any of Andy's. Only one from Andy. Let's get Electric Avenue or Tainted Love or something.
Yeah, I feel like there's undue influence in this rejoin.
Shut up. The beat's about to drop. The beat about to drop. Hey, there you go.
Woo woo!
Y'all hating over there. Y'all hate. Niecy Brown got my back. Niecy Brown tweeted, "You had me dancing this morning with your pics. That was the goal to get y'all in that mood. You in your car, you in your house."
That was Andy's music when he was playing. That was Twisted Sister from Andy.
Oh, jeez. No, we're not doing this.
Come on, Jorge. Let's hear it, Jorge.
We are not doing this.
Hit him with it, Jorge. Wake us up. Yeah. That's what got him dancing.
All right. Well, you know what'll get some people dancing? I'll tell you what'll get someone dancing is if they win Laker Fan Friday, because we are celebrating Lakers Fan Friday. And right now, if you are caller 7-877-710-ESPN, who can answer this question correctly, which quarter was it during yesterday's scrimmage in Orlando where Deion Waiters hit a buzzer-beating three to end that quarter? Which quarter was it? If you are the correct, if you got the correct answer, you will win a Laker prize pack, which includes a Lakers jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, and exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th, which, by the way, I will be co-hosting, and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. Thank you to Valvoline.
$75?
Yeah, $75. You can get a lot of pizza with $75. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCal Oil Change for locations and coupons.
Hey, what's the answer, guys? Raj, you know the answer.
Andy?
I mean, I can't know the answer. I cannot say the answer.
Text me, Jorge.
The game did not go into overtime,
so there's a 1 in 4 chance that you'll get it right. All right?
Okay, let's go with that.
We discussed this, people. LZ and I talked about this at length.
I literally sent all of you the clip of him hitting the shot. Literally sent that on the text exchange. Okay. Which Raj, of course, didn't see because he started drinking at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, the game was early.
877-710-ESPN. If you were paying more attention to the show than Jorge or Raj, you've got the opportunity to win Lakers Fan Friday. If you actually were paying attention to what we were doing.
Jorge is actually on Travelocity, trying to take advantage of the sales during the pandemic.
What?
And we're going to be joined in a sec by Michael Thompson, a little Father Knows Best. He's really into this whole Tyson Roy Jones Jr. thing. I guess he does not think of it the way I do, LZ, as a freak show. Like a Jim Rose circus type thing.
Because it's not a freak show. Listen, how can it be a freak show when damn near every sport has something like this? In basketball, we have the Big Three. In tennis, we have the Power Shares Tour. Golf has the senior tour. How is this a freak show when so many sports present opportunities for their legends to compete one more time against each other? I think you're being really cynical, and I think it's hate on Mike Tyson, and I don't like it. I don't like you hating on Mike Tyson, and I'm going to tell him that.
Well, please don't tell him. Whoa. Please, I beg of you not to tell him.
Michael! Father's no Michael Thompson. What's up, Michael?
What's up, boys? So keep on the Beyonce on Destiny's Child there, huh?
Well, listen. As long as I'm Kelly, I'm okay with it. Because, you know, Beyonce keeps Kelly around. So, you know, as long as I'm Kelly, I'm cool.
Yeah, keep on the Bobby Brown. Left his new edition boys behind. My goodness.
So, Michael, you're right.
This would be like Mo leaving the Three Stooges, man. It's the same right.
Well, we saw, actually, Michael, what happened in different incarnations with Three Stooges when they had, like, Curly Joe and Shemp and all these different replacements. Did not work out nearly as well.
That's right. You guys should have paid Key whatever you wanted to say, but no, you guys got too cheap on it.
Well, we did a GoFundMe, but you only did $10, so I don't know what that's all about.
That's true. Hey, but talking about this Mike Tyson, Roy Jones fight, listen, this is going to be like watching two old guys in a bar get into a drunk, get into a fight.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. This is a car crash.
But guys, hey, listen, come on. I want to watch it. I'm not going to buy it, but if it was free, I definitely would watch it. It'd kind of be entertaining, you know, but I mean, it is what it is. You don't expect to see Mike Tyson from the 80s against Roy Jones from the 80s. Just be amused by two old guys out there. It would be like going to batting practice, Kamenetsky and LZ, and watching Willie Mays and Hank Aaron take BP in their 50s.
But the difference is, you're not looking for anybody to get hurt. Like that's really what makes this, you know, a potential car crash or the freak show element. It's the actual violence being, you know, thrust upon these people in their 50s. Like, that's what separates it from just, hey, you know what, let's see. Like, Michael, you suggested on Twitter, Koufax versus Willie Mays, like one last pitching batting duel. Those guys aren't going to get hurt. That's the difference.
Well, Koufax might bean Willie in the head. You never know. But with these two guys, they're going to be using oversized gloves. They're not going to be hitting 16-ounce gloves or 8-ounce gloves. So that'll lessen the impact some because the gloves are going to be bigger and more padded. But still, yeah, I know what you're saying. They're still going to feel punches when they come in. But, hey, you got to figure after three rounds, they're both going to be exhausted and leaning on each other.
Michael, if you had an opportunity to get in the ring against one great and you knew that you could last one round, who would you want to box?
Oh, come on. If I knew I wasn't going to get hurt, let's just say he'd hit me, but I wouldn't feel it because somehow God would sort of make me impervious to pain, make me feel like I won't feel the punches. It's only one fighter you want to get in the ring with. You know that, who that is, don't you, LZ? Do you have to guess who that fighter is?
I'm guessing who?
It's Ali.
Think about it. Who?
Isn't it Ali?
Ali's.
Yeah,
Ali's
Muhammad
not
Ali, the greatest
anymore.
Fighter in history, the greatest.
He's not with us anymore. What are you going to fight like a corpse? Like, what do you want all the things to be in your favor?
Ouch.
Get like some kind of action in, Mike. Come on now.
What do you mean? No, it would be Ali. I mean, you got a lot of Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Robinson, a lot of great fighters you can choose from. But you gotta pick the greatest of all time, probably America's most influential athlete in the history of sports.
All right, fine. Did you watch the scrimmage last night?
Yeah, I checked it out. It was fun to see the guys back in action. You know, it looks like a little different seeing the guys in that kind of a court, but that's better than nothing. And the NBA has done a great job putting this together. And the guys look good. It just looked like a preseason game. And by next week, they'll hit the ground running, and the games will obviously mean more. And it looks like it's a great facility and great event that the NBA put together down there. They should be commended.
Yeah, Michael, I actually thought, all things considered, when you take into account the layoff and, you know, the guys that the Lakers were missing with Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso, Rajon Rondo, the first half of that game, the one, you know, the half that really mattered, because that's when LeBron and Anthony Davis played, I actually thought the Lakers looked really good. Like, there was some defensive rust, but offensively, they didn't look that much different than when they left off.
Oh, no question about it, man. This team is deep. They've got some veterans to replace Bradley and Rondo. Caruso will be back probably next week, just, you know, in the lineup. So they'll miss those guys who are not there, but they've got so much depth on this team that they'll be fine and be able to see the Clippers in the West Finals when it comes down to that.
Who were you impressed with after yesterday, and who are you worried about after yesterday?
Nobody. I mean, everybody looks fine. Guys, LeBron, of course, looks like he hit the floor right in stride. So does Anthony Davis. Kuzma looked good. So I thought everybody looked fine after having 4 months off and having to, you know, practice and get prepared in such an extraordinary venue and different sort of circumstances. I thought the guys looked great and ready to go. They looked like true professionals who took care of themselves and are ready to go.
Dion Waiters, in particular, Michael, I thought had a really good show. You know, this is literally his first time playing in a game with these guys at all, you know, because Dion never took the court before the season was suspended. He really, I thought, made a case for himself to pick up a lot of those minutes that are left behind for Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Vogel's got a lot of flexibility, a lot of options to choose from with all the shooters he has on the team from the perimeter. Caruso and Caldwell Pope, Danny Green, J.R. Smith, is very deep out there on the perimeter. So these guys are all going to have their turn to shine, their moments. They'll be the main guy from the perimeter in that game. But It's just going to vary from game to game as who's going to be the hot guy that night. But Deion's definitely capable of scoring 18 to 20 points off the bench. That's been his MO his whole career.
Are you okay with this whole thing of when they start up playing the remaining 8 regular season games that they won't count in any of the individual awards?
Yeah, I'm fine, but we already know who's who. We all know who's the MVP, who's between two guys. One of those guys is going to win it, LeBron or Giannis. We all know who the all-NBA team is, the first team or second team. So all that's already decided. We don't need 8 more games to decide that, LZ. Are you still in doubt, LZ? What's wrong with you?
This is my concern, Michael. That weekend in March, after the Clippers and Bucks, LeBron James had firmly placed himself in the momentum position. Then all the momentum stopped. Because prior to that weekend, I thought Giannis was still the proverbial favorite. And then at the conclusion of that weekend, you saw that LeBron James was ramping up and he was in position to catch Giannis and pass him. But then that was taken from him. And so now what we've done is frozen all of the eyeballs on the last thing that we saw, which was LeBron trying to catch Giannis and not LeBron passing Giannis.
Well, if you listen to all the sentiment most of the season, you know, Giannis was the front runner. He was a guy who was there were a couple of horses. He'd be like a nose in front of LeBron. He was holding that position. LeBron had a chance to catch him down the stretch and was doing a good job and inching closer and closer. But if it has to end where the league was cut off in March, and if Giannis somehow edges out LeBron, you can understand it. But then again, if people say, you know what, LeBron's really the MVP, that's fine too. Either both those guys are deserving, so whoever gets it is no big deal. You know what, LZ, like I always say, as long as LeBron is holding the real and most valuable and the true MVP trophy, and what's that, in September when Bill Russell hands it to him, that's the MVP trophy you want, my man, not that one in the regular season.
And you saw the way in the first half of yesterday's game, Michael, like the control that LeBron still has over games and the way that even with this type of layoff and in some cases new floor combinations, new teammates, LeBron doesn't miss a beat. I mean, his ability to just get what he wants, sets up other teammates, like that's the type of stuff that, like you're saying, could lead to him holding the trophy that matters.
Well, he's got that kind of work ethic that Kobe had. Kobe was always in shape in the offseason, always was working and taking good care of his body. LeBron is the same way. He enjoys his nice glass of wine, but the man puts the time in and working out, yep, keep it in shape, and you see the result of it. Even at 35 years of age, this is the result of it because he's a professional and he takes responsibility in taking care of his body. He treats his body like a temple. And now you see why it pays off. He doesn't lose a beat because he puts the work in.
God bless you.
Sorry.
Who's sneezing?
That would be my wife in the background. Sometimes you got to
sneeze. Don't have your woman trained. You need to. You don't have her in her place.
No. You want to tell my Latina wife to get in her place? You have that one. Jorge knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Jorge knows what I'm talking about. You can do that one, LZ. I'm staying out of that one.
I'm good.
If she wants me to put her on the Comrex so she can sneeze, I'm just going to hand her the phone.
And he has the last word. Yes, dear. Whatever you say.
Exactly. So, Michael, what are you going to be looking for in terms of this next game? You know, the scrimmage that's happening tomorrow, 9 a.m. Local time. What are you going to be looking for in terms of, I guess, progress with this team or anything that actually matters?
Yeah, I just want to see this team because we know they can score. Scoring is, these guys can do that in their sleep. I just want to see that same defensive team intensity in the game tomorrow and the rest of the way. As long as they maintain that great defense they're playing as a team, led by Anthony Davis, they'll be just fine. So that's all I care about is, as long as they still have that dedication to stopping teams and making it difficult for other teams, because that's how the Warriors won all their titles. And the Showtime Lakers led by the defense. So that's how you win titles. You got to start with being able to stop guys. So as long as they be able to stop Kawhi Leonard and James Harden and those guys, that's all I care about.
Michael, you are a man who has won championships, and been in a fabulous city during one of the fabulous decades in the 80s. You've heard a lot of music in your life. What is your favorite one-hit wonder?
Who let the dogs out by the Baja Men?
Your people.
Oh, yes.
Your countrymen.
Exactly. Yeah, or there was you remember that song, Just Got Paid Is Friday Night by Johnny Kemp?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a good one.
He's another Bahamian guy, so he was a one-hit wonder. So those two are my favorites because they're from the Bahamas.
So basically you're just kind of, you know, picking people from your country. Okay, I see how you are. Okay, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Who?
Now tell, it is Friday, so tell Funches to put on Johnny Kemp. Just Got Paid, it's Friday night. That's the appropriate song to play today. So put it on, Funches. Find it. It should be easy to find.
No, that would be Jorge.
Funches not here today, Michael.
That would be Jorge.
Oh, Jorge, but put it on, George. Let's say it before I go. Johnny Kemp, Just Got Paid. Come on, hurry up.
Michael is in prime form. I love it.
Yeah,
absolutely prime form.
Have you found it yet?
Let me read off a few of the one-hit wonders that LZ and I threw around for the snake. Oh,
there we go.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's a classic.
Michael, thank you for the time. Appreciate it. Father knows best. Looked great. We'll stay on that. Talk a little bit more about what happened during the scrimmage. It's a tough one to beat, LZ. This is a pretty good one-hit wonder, man.
It's a good song. It's a good song. I'm not going to listen. You
this
have
was
a
huge.
Legitimate list. You have a legitimate list. I wouldn't say it was huge. It was good. It was good. I wouldn't say it was huge. Oh, where did it peak?
I'm looking.
Was it top
10? I'm looking that up right now. Oh, I think
early 80s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This one, the Twitter peeps like it. They said it was a sneaky good pick by you.
It was.
This was. I lost the name. Whoever, I saw you on Twitter, whoever you are. Anyway, but the polls are still up at ESPN Los Angeles.
Nice going, Raj.
You can
vote. You had the entire break to pull it together.
I did, and then I sit and I, you know, you hit stuff and then you go get lost in some wormhole and I don't know. Anyway, but it's 53%, LZ, your lead. You have 53% lead. Andy is creeping up based off the strength of maybe Jorge finally playing one of his songs. And Andy's had 47% of the vote. You can vote still. The polls are still up and going. You have plenty of time to vote. Who has the best one-hit wonder list? And it's a pretty good list out there. You just got to check it out on Twitter. LZ has Jump Around. Here Comes the Hot Stepper. Whoop, there it is. And Rump Shaker. And Andy has Tainted Love, I'll Stop the World, Funky Town, and Electric Avenue. So it's a good pick. It's hard to pick between you two. I voted for Andy, naturally.
I think I Stopped the World is your weak spot.
Oh,
if you had
song.
Done something
I
like Pass the Dutchie,
song.
I think if you had done like
list.
Pass the Dutchie, they was on my
musical,
list too.
Musical list Youth too. Was on my list. I love I'll Stop the World. Like, I genuinely love that song. I think it's a great song. So if that's
use
my
it on
weak,
somebody? Did you use it on a woman? You used a woman, didn't you?
Yeah.
You used elements of that song worked. On a woman. I'm pretty sure you did, because you too hungry for that song. It was that damn great.
Let's just say that it hasn't not worked. We'll just leave it at that. Electric Avenue, by
Raj,
the way.
Raj, instead of saying, I stopped the world and melt with you, he's like, I will stop the world from rotating and burn with you.
Ooh, we took it a step farther.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Electric Avenue, by the way, was number two both in the UK and the US. So it was a pretty big hit, man. That was a pretty big hit for Eddie Grant. Lakers, when Anthony Davis and LeBron James were on the court, were a big hit. They lost in Orlando 108-104, the scrimmage to the Mavericks, the first of, I guess, their the sort of quasi preseason. But when Anthony Davis and LeBron were on the court, in the first half, the Lakers went into the locker room up 55-44, and they still, LZ, look like a team that is going to be as difficult as anybody out there to stop from winning that championship, assuming they've got enough of the pieces there. Alex Caruso missed the game with a back contusion, but I don't think this is expected to be problematic. And then in the meantime, Dion Waiters, great job picking up a lot of those minutes in Rajon Rondo's absence.
Yeah, you know, we kind of knew the talent of Deion Waiters. We never questioned if he still could ball. It was all about whether or not he was going to have the maturity. And it was largely based on his episode with a bad gummy, which, you know, who hasn't had a bad gummy? You know, I'm not going to hang everything up on that. It's like,
those things can sneak up on you, man.
I was going to say, they're unpredictable. Just leave it at that. The number of times in which I've been like, man, this gummy ain't nothing. Then all of a sudden, bam.
Whoa, it's something.
Whoa, it's too much of something. So I'm not going to, you know, hang everything up on what happened with that when it comes to him. But I do think it's interesting that when he had the opportunity, he started knocking down shots right away. Right away. Creating his own shot, hitting transition threes to end a quarter. I won't tell you which quarter because it's a trivia question. But hitting that three was nice. And then just the moxie. You know, he came onto the floor, and even though he was out of the league for a little bit and he had like his reputation, he still brought him to the floor. And that's what you want to see. You still want to see him have that swagger because he gets a lot of his game from his attitude, and his attitude needs to be a lot more boisterous. And, you know, obviously LeBron's thought about all this and has processed it and knows he can work with that. And there's so much space for him because of his size and his length that you can still have a healthy backcourt. You can still have Caruso in there with Danny Green, and you can have Deion, because of his length, play the three and move LeBron to the four and AD at the five if need be it. And yes, that is insinuating that he may eat up some of Kuzma's minutes, because I can foresee that happening if Kuz isn't knocking down the shots and Deion is. Frank Vogel's just going to roll with who's rolling. He's not going to say, well, you've been here or you're our designated third scorer. You need these shots. No, he's going to be like, oh, okay. Well, Deion's got it cooking right now. Let's see if we can ride this for a while.
Well, especially, too, and happy birthday, by the way, to Kyle Kuzma. He turned 25 today.
LeBron, you can rent a car now.
Yeah, he sent out his Instagram wishes. Although, I hope he will not be renting a car in Orlando, because that means he left the bubble, and that means there will be problems if he's seen with a rented car. But, I mean, Kuzma did not have a great game yesterday. 9 points on 4 of 13 shooting. A lot of those shots were self-created and wild. And, you know, Deion Waiters, he doesn't have a great playoff resume, but he's at least been in the playoffs. He at least understands what this is about. And he's been in the league longer than Kuzma. And a lot of what, you know, is going to make or break Kuzma is just how he reacts in this moment. Because the Lakers have been, frankly, waiting for him to emerge as a consistent third option. Like, you know, he was seen as the guy that I think if anybody could be closest to what, you know, Kevin Love or Chris Bosh brought to LeBron's different teams in Miami or Cleveland, Kuzma was the closest candidate they had, just because he was the only guy on that roster with the ability to create his own shot, with, you know, the type of variety in his offense. But it's up to him to harness it in ways that work on the court, in ways that are responsible. And it just hasn't been there on a consistent basis. And like you said, LZ, Frank Vogel's not going to wait anymore. And if somebody like Deion has it going, or, you know, if J.R. Smith had it going, you know, Kuzma's not going to get preference because he's one of the longest tenured Lakers on this team. He's going to be sitting.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And so there's, you know, team pressure because you have a collective goal of a championship. And then there's individual pressure because either you're trying to prove you still belong in the league, which is what Deion and JR is doing, or you're trying to prove you still are that person that they thought you were. And that's Kuz. Kuz was kept also because they felt that he was a difference maker. And now he's feeling this pressure to be just that, a consistent difference maker. And I don't want to put too much stock into the scrimmage, because the scrimmage is a one-off and blah, 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 blah. But over the course of this season, the questions of, you know, what's going on with Kuz has been a fairly consistent one. And there was nothing that came from the scrimmage that answered that question, in my opinion. And so I am still hopeful, because as I told you guys, I've been on the Kuz train since day one. For rookie year summer league, I've been on the Kuz train. I think that dude can go. And I know why he hasn't gone the way we're used to seeing it. And it takes players, some players, longer than others to adjust.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the Lakers don't have that luxury of time. I mean, like, you know, Kuzma may emerge maybe with the Lakers down the line or with a different team in a different setting. He may ultimately meet that promise that a lot of people saw during that rookie year that, you know, some of the excitement came from it taking people by surprise. You know, I mean, like, Kuzma in some ways has benefited from a found money factor, but he's no longer found money. Like, he right. is expected to do certain things. And if he can't do that, nobody's going to be waiting on him anymore. And if somebody else can be a better guy to step up for that role during the playoffs, you're going to see that guy ending up getting those minutes. And as you were saying, they could come at Kuzma's expense. It was also interesting, though, LZ, after the game, to see the way LeBron was dictating the conversation and what we would and would not be talking about in terms of games and in terms of Orlando and the bubble. Talk about that coming up next. Morning show, 710 ESPN.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Andy, brother. I mean, I know you got some good picks, but I really think I just drafted LeBron James with this one. So it's just a wrap.
Look, man, they were on my list. House of Pain Jump Around was on my list, and it was actually on my list pretty high. Like, this song
so,
is impossible.
So why didn't you pick it?
Yeah, fool.
because as I explained, there is no more one-hit wonder to me, like emblematic of what it means to be a one-hit wonder, than Soft Cell with Tainted Love, because it's the only song they're known for, and it's not even their song. It's a cover. Like, they couldn't even come up with their own song. That is as
getting too deep. You're getting too deep for our listeners, Andy. You just got to keep it simple. Make them dance. Yeah! Come on. Yeah.
All right. Enough! Enough!
We know what picks with your long hair. We know what's going on.
But my long
listeners, listeners, go on the internet. Andy Kamineski doesn't just have hair; he's got long, flowing rat hair. It looks like it's like
no. We see
rat,
it's not rat hair like, because that's like a mullet. You like
no, it looked like Nirvana-ish. It looked like he had a Nirvana cut.
Right, exactly. It was more of like a Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden type thing. As opposed to like the Twisted Sister rat type hair. That's a different thing.
Oh, all right. Well, you can go to the internet and go to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed and vote on your favorite one-hit wonders, and you'll probably find a picture of Andy with a long hair and a bass guitar. Go ahead, LZ.
Looking like the lead singer from Whitesnake.
See, it's not Whitesnake. It's more like a... I mean, if you
the grunge era.
I was going to say, if you want to make fun of me and say, like, I look like the lead singer to Bush or, like, you know, something like that, which doesn't necessarily age well, okay. I mean, I'll
No, you look
that,
like this, Andy. This is what you look like. Yeah!
Yeah!
All right. Woo! Moving forward to things a little bit more serious. LeBron James.
I see you drinking beer. That's like $3.99 a case with that hair.
Well, what's it called? Natty Light? Natty Light?
Ice.
Natural
ice.
Light?
Yeah, but that was me during a lot of incarnations of hair. Like, I was just looking for the cheap beer, regardless of what the hair looked like. Like, one, there's no direct correlation one with the other. Speaking of alcohol, happy National Tequila Day to Raj, who started early.
Yes.
It turns out.
Yesterday.
Oh. That would explain a lot what's going on this morning.
Raj really got going early with the national team.
Did you guys notice during the morning call? I just realized I haven't had a shirt on all morning. So during our Zoom meeting, did you notice I had no shirt on?
I honestly feel like I can't tell a difference.
No.
There's been times in the studio where you've had no shirt on.
Yeah, I didn't have a Raj, I never I made it to getting a shirt.
Raj,
go ahead.
I don't see shirts. I just see shades of gray.
All right. Ah. Go to LeBron. Here we go to LeBron.
All right, LeBron with the gray beard looking serious these days. And after yesterday's scrimmage, the 108-104 loss to the Mavericks in Orlando, LeBron dictated the conversation, LZ. And that conversation was all about Breonna Taylor and justice for Breonna Taylor and racial injustices in this country and the decades of systemic racism. And he made it clear, this is what I want to talk about. And Anthony Davis and Frank Vogel talking afterwards followed suit. And it really showed the ability of these players, and in particular LeBron, to dictate conversation and to do their best to make sure that we, you know, as a culture, don't lose focus on you know, the need for justice for Breonna Taylor?
First of all, I love the game. I love the NBA. I love what we've built, not only here in America, but all over the world. I think this is the most precious, beautiful, impactful game in the world. But a lot of people kind of use this analogy talking about Black Lives Matter as a movement. It's not a movement. When you're black, it's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. We sit here and say it's a movement, and okay, how long is this movement going to last? Don't stop the movement. No, this is a walk of life. When you wake up and you black, that is what it is. It shouldn't be a movement. It should be a lifestyle. This is who we are, and we understand that, and we know that for one step that someone else might have to take, or for one yard someone else may have to take, and we know we got to take 5 more steps, and we know we got to take 10 more yards to get to the end zone. I mean, we understand that. We know that. So, but also what makes us, a strong, powerful, it makes us so unique and unified is that we'd have so much hardships in our life, either from personal experiences or loved ones or reading history or seeing videos, Rodney King, just being a part of just the communities that you're in where you just racially profiled from the time you come out of the womb. So it's not a movement. I don't like the word movement. Unfortunately, in America and society, there ain't been no damn movement for us. There ain't been no movement. We land in this with justice for Breonna Taylor. We're going to continue to harp on that.
It's pretty powerful.
Spot on, man.
It's pretty powerful.
It's completely spot on, too. I mean, you're talking about a young woman who was asleep in her apartment. The police had a warrant that allowed them to break in, and so they used a battering ram to do just that. Her boyfriend, obviously unaware that the police are there, and oh, by the way, not at the place where they should have been, they break in. The boyfriend shoots because he thinks there's an intruder trying to get them, and a barrage of bullets just starts spraying everywhere. Breonna Taylor gets hit multiple times, is still alive miraculously, and for 20 plus minutes doesn't receive any treatment. One police officer has been fired. The department has already determined that his actions were reckless. So I would say to you that if you were a regular citizen and you started spraying into someone's home while they're asleep, and the police department said your actions were reckless, that seems as if enough for you to be arrested. I know I would be arrested if I broke into someone's apartment, started spraying randomly, the police said I behaved recklessly, and someone ended up dying. So this is all that, you know, people are talking about when they're talking about, you know, Breonna Taylor specifically, is that the circumstances alone, if anyone else were connected to, at the very least, they would have been arrested. And this is the same thing that goes back to Ahmaud Arbery, where this whole thing sort of started in terms of seeing these images during the pandemic. The only reason why those men were arrested wasn't because they did something wrong, was because the video got out and then the police responded. Because they believed the okey-doke lie that they thought he had stolen something. But then you see the video and it's just a brother jogging down the street being hunted by racist white men. Hunted, lynched. So when LeBron James is talking about in terms of staying focused on the message and not being distracted, I'm glad he didn't spend a great deal of time talking about a damn game that didn't matter, a scrimmage in which he didn't even play the second half, when we still got this hanging over the country's head.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and again, the ability to dictate this conversation, particularly when you're LeBron James, but also too, like LeBron talked about afterwards how he hopes that this setting in Orlando and this focus that there's been on social justice issues is going to empower players that aren't that aren't at LeBron's level, that don't have LeBron's type of, you know, career and financial security. If they've ever felt uncomfortable before, that they now have the ability to speak out, that, you know, we are as a society and they are in a place where that can be done. And he's hoping that ultimately, like, he's given license and liberty to a lot of these different players that may not have felt comfortable before, but have wanted to say something. Like, you're able to do that now. And I thought that was actually really cool that LeBron was cognizant of, you know what, there's a lot of people that want to talk about this, but they don't necessarily know how. I'm helping open up those doors for you. And I thought that was really cool of him.
Yeah, absolutely. But once again, you know, the NBA has been really good on this as of late. Obviously, we remember, Andy, because we're both Gen Xers, we remember what the NBA did to Craig Hodges, basically ran him out of the league when he tried to speak up. We know what the NBA did with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, you know, basically derailed his career when he tried to speak up. So I'm not pretending as if the NBA hadn't struggled in this area, but as of late, they figured it out. And now they've been batting 1,000. And, you know, the NFL for, you know, I'm going to give them their credit. They're trying to get it right. Just like the NBA got it wrong out the gate, the NFL got it woefully wrong right out the gate, but they're trying to get it right. Baseball, they're trying to get it right. They're even having conversations in hockey, trying to get it right. Because they recognize that while it is true that sports, professional sports in particular, are designed as a distraction, this is one topic that we're not going to be distracted from because we haven't been paying attention to it to begin with. Not the way that it needs to be, not treated as the disease that it is. People are dying from this. They're dying from these biases. They're dying from this structure. They're dying from the criminal justice system. And they've been dying from all of this for a very long time. And so, yeah, they're still going to provide us with entertainment, but they don't want to take away from this movement. So bravo to LeBron James, bravo to Clayton Kershaw, and all of the superstars in their sports, Bubba Wallace, who are using their platforms to try to help us steal message so that maybe not in the not too distant future, we won't need a Black Lives Matter because people will just know that we do.
Yeah, speaking of that, yesterday there was a moment across baseball. There was a visual across baseball that I think really cemented where we are right now with sports getting involved with these type of issues. Talk about that next. Crosstalk with George Sedano. George, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
What's up, Brother George? What's up, Brother George? You know how this goes. We had a snake draft, and we want you, my friend, to tell us who has the best list.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm gonna let Andy do it because he can get.
All right, okay. We begin anonymously. List number one, Tainted Love, I'll Stop the World, Funky Town, Electric Avenue. Then list two, Jump Around, Here Comes the Hot Stepper, Whoop, There It Is, Rump Shaker.
One is clearly more modern than the other. The second one is clearly more modern than the other. But I would say list one is more iconic than the other. I was going one hit wonders.
Yes! There you go.
Go to hell, George.
Hey, sorry, LC. I usually roll with you. I usually figure out it's you, but that one. I mean, listen, the Kamenetskis are good at a handful of things, and one of them is knowing their music. That's for sure.
I know my music. I know my music extremely well. I knew every single one of those songs. You don't think Whoop, There It Is iconic?
No.
No, because it's too easily confused with Whoop, There It Is.
Right. Yeah, there's two of them. There's 95 South, and then there's the, who was the other group that did it?
Oh, my God.
Is it Rex and Effect? Is that who?
No, Rex and Effect is Rump Shaker.
Okay, Rump Shaker.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
but there was 95 South, and then there was another group that did something. Yeah, that did the one that almost sounds exactly like it.
Okay, Whoop, There It Is. Looking it up right now. George, who are some of yours?
You know, look, I would say Sugar Hill Gang, right? Rapper's Delight.
That was on my list.
Is arguably the greatest one-hit wonder ever. It's in theory, it's the first rap song to hit, like, the top 10 or whatever. You know what I mean? So, yeah, like, to me, that's got to be there.
Whoop, There It is 95 South.
Right.
Whoop, There It is Tag Team.
Tag Team, right. It was Tag Team in 95 South. Right, yeah. So when you got two songs that are basically the same, like, I don't know, you know?
There ain't no basic. They're the same song. But yeah, you know what?
They're the same song.
I thought about that. Like, that is as iconic. And they were truly. It's kind of crazy when you think about the influence of that song. One hit and they were out.
Yep, pretty much. What do you guys got? Well, how excited were you to watch baseball yesterday?
They had more songs.
What's that?
It just feels like they had more than one song. But it was fun. It was so much fun. You know, I was on deadline, George, and so I'm trying to finish this piece, but I don't want to turn away from the baseball game. I wanted to see every at-bat that Mookie had. I wanted to see every at-bat that Cody Bellinger had. Then Kiki Hernandez just stole everyone's thunder. Then I wanted to see every at-bat that he had. It was just an amazing display of offense, especially in the seventh and eighth inning.
And Dustin May stepping up, man. Last-minute call-up. He did a great job.
They are the Death Star on offense, I feel like.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're especially with a DH, George. Good luck finding the soft spots there. LZ and I will be back on Monday, and George will be joined by Ben Lyons momentarily. 710 ESPN.